Welcome to the deep dive. We're here to pull out the core knowledge from your sources, really cutting straight to the strategies you can actually use. And today, we're getting hyper-specific. We're talking about hitting that $1 million real estate mark in Brooklyn. Now, this isn't just, you know, daydreaming about a classic Park Slope brownstone or maybe a finey new condo in Prospect Heights. Our sources really lay out the financial reality, the cold, hard numbers you need to make it work.
Right.
We're mapping out exactly how much cash you need saved up, what kind of income lenders are looking for, and frankly, where $1 million actually buys you something.
Yeah. And it's crucial to get the context right first. Brooklyn, well, it isn't Manhattan's cheaper alternative anymore, not for a long time. It's become really one of the most competitive, intense real estate markets in the whole country.
Right.
So when you hear that $1 million price tag, you're not just buying square footage, you're buying into a whole lifestyle, really. Mm. Premium stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the local coffee shops, those tree-lined streets, the historic vibe that's baked into the price.
Okay, let's unpack that then. Why? Why does a home here cost $1 million or often even more? Especially when, in other cities, that money buys you way more space. What's really driving it?
Well, the sources point to about four key things, all kind of working together. First, and maybe the most obvious, is proximity to Manhattan.
It's a commute.
Exactly. Short hops from places like Brooklyn Heights or DUMBO into the financial district or Midtown. That convenience alone adds a massive premium. Second is the neighborhood lifestyle itself. Brooklyn offers that historic charm, but also, you know, amazing independent restaurants, unique shops.
Yeah.
There's a real local pride.
A certain authenticity people pay for.
That's a good way to put it. Authenticity. People value that.
Yeah.
The number three, well, it's simple economics.
Supply and demand.
Absolutely. Just limited supply. I mean, it's an island borough. Space is scarce. And finding properties with the things people really want, like outdoor space or those beautiful original details. Demand just blows supply out of the water for those.
Mm.
And finally, there's the cultural reputation.
The Brooklyn brand.
Yeah, the brand. It keeps attracting high-earning professionals, young families. Mm-hmm. They're looking for that mix of cool and convenient.
So, okay. Limited inventory, massive desire. It means you've got to set expectations right away. $1 million, depending heavily on where in Brooklyn you're looking, probably gets you a two-bedroom condo, maybe a smaller townhouse, or a co-op.
That's generally right. It varies a lot by neighborhood, which we'll get into. But yeah, manage those expectations, which brings us straight to the math. The financial side.
The big hurdle.
The biggest. Because look, without the right financial setup, that lifestyle premium doesn't matter. You can't get in the door. And it starts with the lender's absolute rule.
Yeah.
The 2836 rule.
Okay.
Non-negotiable. Basically, your total housing cost, that's principal, interest, taxes, and insurance, PITI has to be under 28% of your gross monthly income before taxes.
28%. Okay.
And the
36.
Your total debt. So housing costs plus car loans, student loans, credit card minimums, everything has to stay below 36% of your gross monthly income. Lenders live by this.
All right. Let's apply that 2836 rule directly to buying a $1 million home. What kind of income are we talking about to even qualify, let alone feel comfortable?
The sources are pretty clear on this. To stay safely under that 28% housing cost ceiling for $1 million property in Brooklyn, you're looking at a required annual household income of somewhere between $240,000 and $250,000.
Wow. Okay, let's pause there. $250,000 a year just to meet the lender's basic rule.
That's the floor, yeah. That translates to roughly $20,000 in gross income per month.
Mm-hmm.
And if you take 28% of that $20,000, you get your maximum monthly housing budget, which is about $5,600.
So are the sources basically saying this market, even at the $1 million level, has priced out almost everyone except like top 5% earners or high earning dual income couples?
That's pretty much the tough reality, yes.
Yeah.
When you combine NYC property values, even with Brooklyn's slightly lower tax rates and layer on current interest rates, that $1 million mark generally requires that higher income bracket, either two strong salaries or one very highly compensated individual.
So if a 245K is the income floor, the next giant step is the cash you need up front, the down payment. How does that break down?
Right. Most lenders for a conventional loan on a property like this are going to expect 20% down minimum.
So on $1 million home.
That's $200,000 cash ready to go.
$200,000. And that 20% isn't just a suggestion, right? There's a specific reason for it.
Absolutely. It's the threshold to avoid private mortgage insurance, or PMI.
And just quickly, PMI, that protects the lender, not you, the buyer, correct?
Exactly right. If you put down less than 20%, the lender sees you as a higher risk. So they force you to pay PMI each month. It's basically insurance for them in case you default. And it adds, you know, potentially hundreds of dollars to your monthly payment.
Money that doesn't build equity or anything for you?
Nothing. It just protects the lender. So it can totally wreck those 20-136 ratios we just talked about. That's why hitting that $200,000 down payment is pretty much essential for serious buyers at this price point.
Okay. So we've got the income floor. We've got the $200K down payment. Let's drill down into the actual monthly payment. We're buying for $1 million, putting $200K down. So we need an $800,000 loan. What kind of interest rate are we looking at based on the source material?
Okay, so the sources mention rates as of October 2025. And obviously, this is a huge variable. Rates change constantly, but they were seeing around 5.95% APR for a 30-year fixed mortgage. And that's assuming excellent credit, by the way.
Right. Huge caveat there. Rates change and you need good credit. But using that 5.95%, what's the principal and interest on the $800,000 loan?
The calculation puts the estimated principal and interest, the P&I, right around $4,779 per month.
Almost $4,800 just for the loan itself. That's substantial.
It is. But wait, we're not done. That's just P&I. We know New York has other mandatory costs.
Property tax.
Yeah, property taxes. Now, Brooklyn's effective rate is actually lower than some other places, around 0.68%. So on a $1 million assessment, you're looking at any $570 a month in property taxes, give or take.
Okay. Add $570. What else?
Insurance. Homeowners insurance. And if it's a condo or even some townhouses, you'll likely have HOA fees, homeowners association fees.
Right. For building upkeep, amenities.
Exactly. So you need to budget another, let's say, $400 to $500 a month combined for insurance and potential HOA or common charges.
Okay. Let's add it up. We had $4,770 for P&I plus $570 for taxes. Plus another, say, $450 for insurance and fees.
You land right around $5,700 to $5,800 for your total estimated monthly housing payment.
$5,800 a month, which is just over that $5,600 limit we calculated earlier based on the 28% rule and a 245K income. So it's tight.
It's very tight. That's the reality check. Paying for those charming streets isn't cheap month to month.
And that's like, what, over a quarter of your gross income just gone on housing? Phew.
Yeah.
But we can't stop there. Step five in the source talks about costs beyond the down payment.
Yes. Closing costs. The sting in the tail.
Yeah, how bad is it?
NYC closing costs are notoriously high. Typically, you're looking at 2% to 5% of the purchase price.
2 to 5%. On $1 million, that's...
That's $20,000 to $50,000.
Yeah.
Extra cash you need on top of the $200,000 down payment.
$50,000 just to sign the papers. What on earth makes up that cost? That feels like a tax just for trying.
Uh-huh. Well, it kind of is in a way.
Yeah.
A big chunk is title insurance, which is very expensive in New York. Then you've got attorney fees. You need a lawyer. Appraisal fees. Recording fees for the deed. Plus, there are mandatory city and state transfer taxes. And if you are buying a co-op or condo, you might have extra fees like application fees or contributions to the building's reserve fund.
So realistically, you don't just need $200,000. You need more like $230,000, maybe $250,000 liquid cash ready to go.
That's a much safer target, yes. A robust financial cushion is critical.
And then even once you get the keys, the spending doesn't stop, does it? The sources mention ongoing maintenance.
Especially true for those beautiful, historic brownstones. But even modern condos have upkeep needs. A good rule of thumb, the sources suggest, is to plan for an annual maintenance budget of around 1% to 2% of the home's value.
So for our $1 million place, that's another $10,000 to $20,000 per year.
Per year. On average, over the long run, for roof repairs, boiler issues, appliance replacements, common charge increases, that's the true cost of ownership, especially for older buildings.
Okay, this is daunting. Let's talk strategies. How can people optimize things a bit, maybe make it slightly less painful? The sources must offer some tips. Credit score seems like a big one.
Huge. Your credit score is probably your single most powerful lever on the monthly payment. The sources emphasize getting your score above 740.
Why 740 specifically?
That's typically the threshold where you unlock the absolute best interest rates lenders offer, even shaving off, say, a quarter of a percentage point on your rate because of a great score. That can save you literally tens of thousands of dollars in interest over the life of a 30-year loan. It's massive.
So job one, polish that credit score. What about pushing beyond the 20% down payment if someone can save more?
Definitely helps. If you can manage 25% or even 30% down, 250K, 300K, you're borrowing less, obviously.
Hmm.
But it also signals greater financial stability to the lender. Sometimes that can nudge you into slightly better loan terms or just give you more negotiating power.
Any specific programs mentioned for assistance?
Yes. The sources highlight the State of New York Mortgage Agency, or SUNMA.
Okay, SUNMA. What do they offer? Is it just for first-time buyers?
Often geared towards them, but not exclusively. SUNMA can offer competitive fixed interest rates, sometimes lower than market rates, and crucially, they have programs that might offer down payment assistance. So if you've saved that $200 but are sweating those $30K, $50K in closing costs, SUNMA might be able to help bridge that gap if you qualify based on income and location. Worth looking into.
That's a great practical tip. Now, a lot of people probably default to thinking condo or maybe townhouse, but the sources also mention considering co-ops. What's the angle there?
Right. Co-ops are structurally different. Hmm. You're buying shares in a corporation that owns the building, not the physical unit itself. The big advantage, they're almost always priced lower than a comparable condo in the same neighborhood. So your $1 million might go further in a co-op.
Okay. Cheaper entry point. What's the catch?
The catch is the co-op board. Getting approved by the board can be a much more intensive, invasive process than buying a condo. They often have stricter financial requirements, lengthy interviews.
More scrutiny.
Way more scrutiny. And they usually have stricter rules about things like subletting or making renovations. Less flexibility.
So it's a trade-off.
Yeah.
Potentially a better price versus more rules and a tougher approval process.
Exactly. But if stretching that $1 million budget is the absolute top priority, co-ops definitely deserve a serious look.
Okay, that brings us neatly to location. Step 6 in the process. We've nailed down the price point, but where does that million actually land you? This seems critical in Brooklyn.
Oh, it's everything. Your money stretches or shrinks dramatically depending on the specific neighborhood. The source data gives a really good snapshot of this. For instance, if your heart is set on prime, super established areas like Park Slope or Fort Greene, your $1 million budget is actually below the average price there.
Below average? Wow.
Yeah, averages in those spots are more like $1.2 million to $1.6 million. So at a million, you'd likely be looking at a smaller unit, maybe a one-bedroom plus den, or possibly a co-op that needs work. You're squeezing in.
Okay, so where does $1 million feel more like a solid mid-range budget?
Places like Williamsburg come to mind. The range there is wider, maybe $950,000 up to $1.4 million. Mm. It's obviously very trendy, great transit. $1 million could get you a competitive two-bedroom condo there.
Mm-hmm.
And if the goal is really maximizing your chances of getting something decent, right around that $1 million mark, maybe even slightly under, the sources point towards Bay Ridge.
Bay Ridge. Further out, maybe. What's the vibe?
A bit further south, yeah. It offers more of a maybe suburban feel within the city. Averages there run more like $800,000 to $1.1 million.
Right.
You might find water views, good schools. It's probably your best shot at getting, say, a small house or a larger condo near the lower end of our $1 a target range.
Interesting. And what about areas maybe still considered up and coming or just very dynamic?
Crown Heights gets a mention. Mm-hmm. It's noted for being diverse, energetic, still evolving. The price range is similar to Williamsburg, maybe $850,000 to $1.2 million. Good subway access, too. The main takeaway is you absolutely must align your budget with the specific micro market of the neighborhood. Don't just think Brooklyn. Think Park Slope, Brooklyn versus Bay Ridge, Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Very different realities.
And before you even start seriously looking at listings in any of these neighborhoods, there's step 7, a critical one.
The pre-approval, yes. Cannot stress this enough.
Why is it so vital in this market?
It's non-negotiable in a competitive place like Brooklyn. Getting formally pre-approved by a lender, not just pre-qualified, but pre-approved, does two things. One, it tells sellers you're a serious buyer. You've done the paperwork, your finances have been checked, you're ready to make a real offer.
Signal strength.
Exactly. In a market where good properties get multiple offers, often within days, being pre-approved can literally be the difference between your offer being considered or just tossed aside. And two, it often allows you to lock in your interest rate for a certain period, maybe 60 or 90 days. That protects you if rates happen to jump up while you're house hunting.
Joe, don't even think about making an offer without it.
Don't even think about scheduling showings without it, honestly. It's that fundamental.
Okay, so let's try and wrap this all up for the listener. If we boil down everything from the sources, what's the essential three-point Brooklyn buyer's playbook for that $1 million target?
Right. Three core things to nail down. First, prioritize location and transit access over just raw square footage. A slightly smaller place in a great spot usually beats a bigger place further out, especially for resale.
Okay, location first.
Second, be patient but decisive. The search might take time, don't settle. But when you find the right place and you have your finances lined up, that $250K cushion, the pre-approval you need to be ready to move fast, decisively.
Patient search, fast action. Got it. And third.
Third, plan beyond the purchase. Think long-term. Factor in those ongoing maintenance costs we talked about, and consider the resale potential of the property and the neighborhood down the line.
That long-term view feels really important, especially since the sources mention that Brooklyn real estate, historically anyway, tends to hold its value well through market ups and downs.
Often appreciates faster than the national average, yeah.
Yeah.
So it can be a powerful wealth-building tool over time, despite the high entry cost.
Right.
Which leaves us with maybe one final thought for you, the listener, to chew on as you start this journey. Since that long-term appreciation in equity building is a big part of the Brooklyn appeal, how might your strategy change if you considered, say, a single-family home that needs significant renovation? Maybe in a neighborhood like Crown Heights or Bay Ridge, where you could potentially buy below $1 million.
Mm-hmm.
How does that calculus, buying something that needs work versus paying top dollar for a turnkey modern condo, affect your long-term investment profile? That balance between immediate lifestyle needs and future financial gain,
yeah,
that's something you'll need to figure out for yourself.